Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam, the most happening place on the planet and the place which is, in fact, the abode of supreme peace. How many people throng to this divine hamlet every day in search of this peace, seeking this solace, this calmness, this bliss. Today is July 31st, 2014, and just yesterday I was speaking to Mr. Manfred Müller from Germany. He is the central coordinator of Region 71 of Satya Sai International Organization. Region 71 consists of Austria, Czech Republic, Germany, Hungary, Slovakia. So there's a big group of devotees from all these North European countries, including Belgium, Denmark, Sweden, Norway. In fact, they are preparing for a program to present in front of Bhagwan 1 week from now. And I was speaking to Mr. Manfred. I asked him if he found it difficult to stay in Prashanthinilayam because of the climate, the food and so on. And the answer he gave me surprised me, because he said he has absolutely no issues with food. In fact, he's been eating in, not in the Western canteen, but in the South Indian canteen. Not only him, so many in his group were doing this. He said, Prashanti is like my home. I feel most comfortable here. I have been coming here for the last 25 years and most of the time I come twice a year. And this time, like many other times, he's been here and he's going to be here for a month. And then he said, yeah, there are some challenges off and on, because every time we come to do a program, there are some uncertainties and there are some issues that come up in the organization of this program and so on. But being in Prashanti is most satisfying. It is most recharging. It is the place meant for our spiritual growth. And this is not only Mr. Manfred. I met so many other people of Region 71. And listening to them, listening how much Prashanti means to them, how deeply Bhagwan has touched them, just leaves you so much in awe of what this Satya Sai avatar is, which Manfred is possibly a Christian from Germany. I also met 3 devotees from Turkey who are Muslims and who too were here in Prashanthinilayam for their Sai retreat, for their Parthi pilgrimage in this month. In fact, I had the opportunity of having a 1.5 hour long conversation with these 3 gentlemen from Turkey. And that was again a very revealing experience. Let me play for you just one clip, a small excerpt of the interaction I had with one Mr. Orchun Don, who is a financial analyst in an investment company in Turkey. And Orchun, is it difficult being a Muslim and being a follower of Sai Baba in Turkey?
Do you want me to just consider my point of view, yeah, or the others?
Yeah, first yours.
First of all, as brought up as a Muslim person, because these kind of statues, idols, is a major part in Hinduism also. Yeah. We have lots of here.
Yes.
And also in our culture, these kind of drawings, these kind of statues, idols, they're all accepted as, you know, evil.
Evil? Oh my God.
Evil, yeah, oh. Because there is God, but if you accept them as God, they say, yeah, you cannot worship to a form.
Yeah, you cannot have God in Sakara form.
Yeah, this is accepted as a crime in religion.
Mm.
I mean,
it's blasphemy.
Blasphemy. There's a really nice word for this. I couldn't just remember.
Yeah.
It is accepted this way. We have been brought up like this.
Yes.
But Baba says everything is God.
Yes.
Because if you think about existence, if there is only existence and nothing beyond that,
yes,
if this chair exists, this should be made of God also. This should be God also. This is my opinion. This is also God. Yes. This came nothing beyond God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe I am a much more aware being. Yes. I mean, yeah, as thinking about proximity to becoming merged with the core. And this is taking its place also in this very well organized play.
Yeah.
Okay. This will one day also.
Everything will one day reach there.
Everything has awareness, I think, but yes, the level is different.
Level is different.
Now I see. Baba seemed much more right in this perception, because up to a point, they all failed because they couldn't give me much more. I don't say they are wrong, because all those rituals, they have to be done. I was doing also. I am also still doing as a Muslim. Even in Ramadan, we're fasting.
Yes.
Every day, when we have time, we're praying. These are all needed, because as a Hindu person, you must be also doing your what rituals.
Fasting and prayer, that is common everywhere.
Yeah, yes, because we have to be, I mean,
in tune.
The master of our senses, right? This is needed for this.
Yes.
Also, Prophet Muhammad also said this, because after they were having war with those non-believers, because they were also, not only non-believers, they were also doing harm.
Yes.
They were just, I mean, without any reason, they were killing people. After the war's done, he said that, now the real war begins.
Yes.
With ourselves. We have to just watch ourselves every time. Who am I?
Yes.
I think Baba just take my Muslimity to another extension point.
Okay, see, he just raised, elevated you as a Muslim. Yes. You have become much more enlightened Muslim.
I feel this way, yes. Because now Quran means a lot more wider meaning to me. Each line in Quran just combines with Baba's teachings, with his explanations. They just give me the whole universe.
Wow.
The whole universe is within me.
Fantastic. Can you give me one or two examples of what is mentioned in the Quran, then what you found in Swami's teachings, and how that changed your perspective or broadened your perspective?
There is one famous line in Surah the Baqarah. Baqarah Surah. Baqarah means cow, I think.
Surahs are the chapters.
The second Surah, yeah.
Yeah.
In Quran, in its design listing. In one line, it says that once upon a time, Jews, they said that they, apart from them, no one could enter heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But later, Christians, those people who called themselves Christians, said the same thing. No one but them will enter the heaven. But in the next line, God says that. No, my prophet, he says. No, my messenger. It is not that. Those who open their hearts to God, to me, they are the ones who will enter heaven. And it is not giving any Christian, any Jew, any Muslim.
It's mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah, this is mentioned in Quran also.
Wow.
I believe also there's reincarnation. Because in many lines, God says there, the one who created you first time, isn't he capable of creating you again and again?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being reincarnated.
Yes.
Again and again. So they all just, with this perception, with this awareness, when you read them, they all, the Vedas, the Bible, I mean, the Old Testament, the Quran, they all just state the same thing. Because God is same.
Yes.
So Bhagavan Baba says you cannot just divide love. Love is one.
Yes.
And all this wisdom is love.
Yes. Wow. I remember talking to Mr. Faiz Muhammad. He's from West Indies. And when he became a devotee, he also had this intense churning within how to accept Swami as God, being brought up as a Muslim. And one day it dawned on him, after he came here and he had Bhagwan's Darshan, 1981. He said that when I consider God as all-powerful, almighty, if he can do everything, then why can't he even take a form? He can take a form also.
Of course, the easiest thing.
If he can do everything, then why can't he take
very
a form?
Very easy.
That is what helped him, gave him clarity, and moved on. And he's today, of course, he's one of the office bearers, central coordinators or something of this Western
great example
region.
There is also another thing that I can remember. Those people who couldn't believe him, who doubted him, they stated something. Why, if the messenger of God is coming, why is he coming in a human form? Why not an angel form? If you were, you know, people of a crowd of angels, we would definitely send an angel to you.
God says that.
Of course, this is stated in Quran.
Is that in Quran?
Yeah, also Baba says that, I took the human form so that you can talk to me, so that you can take example of me, so that you can eat with me, play with me,
yes,
and do everything. Yes. If he was an angel, I don't think I could just get close to him. I would be really afraid of him.
Yes.
Swami told, if I had come with four hands and wings and everything, you will put me in a museum.
Of course. Then there will be no meaning, I think.
No, we can't really experience that love that we felt. And all those beautiful interviews that Mr. Rafi has had with Bhagwan, you could develop that relationship with him only because he came in that form.
Yes.
Amazing.
Have a little faith in me, he says, I think. We should have that little faith and see that grow and grow each day. But yes, we have to be persistent in that faith, I think.
So that is Arjun Dion from Turkey. And that is the beautiful way in which Swami has opened the heart of this young devotee. And today, he spends all his time outside his office hours in the Sathya Sai Center in Turkey. He is busy translating Swami's writings into Turkish. And all the time, sincerely striving to live his teachings in his daily life. And as a result, experiencing his love in so many myriad ways. We will very soon play this entire conversation on Radio Sai as part of our Tryst with Divinity series. And like this, there are so many Muslims who have been touched so remarkably and so indelibly by Swami. And to listen to them is so fascinating. So I thought in this month, which is so sacred to Muslims world over, Ramadan just ended, the occasion when 1.5 billion Muslims across the globe spent a month in prayer, in penitence, in the willful sacrifice of their personal comforts and pleasures in honor of the Divine. Ramadan is the auspicious period when the Quran was revealed to mankind through the sacred soul of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And being in Prashantilayam, I have had the chance, thanks to his grace, to speak to so many Muslims in the recent past from different corners of the globe, and each one of these occasions always left me so much in wonder, in reverence at the mysterious makings of the Almighty. And so I thought, before the month of July is over, before Ramadan completely fades from our memory, it might be enriching for us to soak ourselves in some of these elevating stories, these elevating encounters with the Divine. And that is what we are going to do today. We are going to listen to how so many people whose heart is given to Allah have experienced the love of Sai and have been enlightened by the message of Sai Allah. So this is how we will be spending the next 1 hour or so in this last segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai. Be sure the time in the studios now is 8:51, and tonight it is La Ilaha Illallah, experiencing Allah inside through the reflections of so many beautiful souls. So let me begin with a young dynamic gentleman I met during Christmas 2012. His name is Firdaus Sheikh. Professionally, he's a physical trainer for Bollywood celebrities and has great love for Swami. And I was curious to know how this love for Swami happened in his heart and how he's so touched and moved by Bhagwan. So I called him to the studio, and it was a wonderful conversation. So let's begin with Firdaus Sheikh from Mumbai, and after that I will take you back to Turkey, this time with a couple from Turkey, and finally we'll end with a fine gentleman from Trinidad and Tobago about him, Arjun Dyong, also mentioned. I was talking to Arjun Dyong about it, Mr. Faiz Mohammed. So we will listen to him towards the end of the program. So let's begin with Firdaus Sheikh from Mumbai. So welcome, Firdaus, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Today is December 23rd,
yes,
2012, and Prashanti is buzzing with activity because Christmas is just 2 days away and there are a lot of devotees from all over the world, New Zealand to Australia to California, and you are from Mumbai. Firdaus Sheikh, it's so obvious that you're raised as a Muslim, and to see you during Christmas time in Prashanti Nilayam is really very heartening. So tell us, how do you find Prashanti Nilayam and how do you happen to come here?
I feel like as if I'm in my house. I'm having a great time with seeing the celebrations all over, people enjoying and, you know, having a great time. I get a lot of peace when I come here. I feel as if we all are one and we celebrate Eid or Diwali or Christmas together. You know, it's a great thing to be born in India and with so many different cultures, colors, people and being together. And I even think, you know, if I was in a Muslim country, I couldn't have experienced such great things with different people. I've been a devotee of Baba since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I never knew anything about Baba. Maybe in my childhood, I must have seen his picture, but I had no clue who he was. As you said, I'm a personal trainer for Bollywood celebrities. I was more in the glamour industry with the top celebrities, superstars of Bollywood. So I was in the glamour industry like a usual guy, you know, working out, building biceps and all
yes.
that, wearing all designer clothes. I was into all that. But a friend of mine, he's my Sai brother, Kunal Ganjawala.
He's a singer, a famous Bollywood
yeah.
singer.
I started training him for a few months. And I used to go to his house. We made a small gym in his house where for the first time I saw Satya Sai Baba's picture. I was very much attracted to this picture.
Just the picture and you were attracted?
Yeah, just that picture. Nothing else. I knew nothing about this. And it was a small calendar in which his picture was there. And, you know, I used to read the daily quotes every day. I used to see that picture and I used to really love what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing. And one day I couldn't find that picture there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just asked Kunal, where's that picture? So he said, that's Satya Sai Baba. He's my master. He's my guru. I said, it's wonderful. You know, the teaching that he's saying on that calendar, it's amazing. You know, like within a day or two in Mumbai, I went to a theater to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the movie. I could feel someone calling me.
Mm-hmm.
The theater was empty, hardly few people were there. When I turned on my left side, I could see Satya Sai Baba sitting there and calling me.
Physical?
You saw
him in person?
Yeah, I saw him. I saw his image and then again I tried this twice, then it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing started happening since I saw the picture. Like I could feel someone is like behind me, someone is like giving me messages. And he knew about Puttaparthi also.
So when he just appeared there and you saw him in the theater, what was your initial reaction? Was it shock?
I was like shocked because, you know, I was not into believing in masters because I felt God is there. Even few people had advised me that masters, they take you towards God and they give you good teaching. So as I'm a Muslim, I was very religious. I used to offer namaz. Still, I offer namaz. But I never felt why am I doing this, you know?
You're just doing it as a routine.
Yeah, I was doing a routine and why couldn't I feel, you know, the essence of Almighty Allah?
You never felt that connection with God.
Yeah, but I lost my dad when I was very small, like 8 years old. But there was someone who was there to look after us.
You had that feeling.
I
that
had
belief that there is someone always.
There is someone. I'll complete the story. I came out of the theater and the first thing that I did was I went to the travel agent.
Mm-hmm.
Below the theater, I bought tickets. I called Kunal Ganjawala. I asked him, bro, where's this place, Puttaparthi? So he said, it's in Bangalore. I said, I'm buying the tickets right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same day, I'm going tomorrow, day after, I'm going. I booked the tickets. And the next day, I told Kunal that I want to go there. I want to see what exactly it is. And, you know, it's a miracle. On the same time, there's one more friend of ours. His name is Rajesh Ramavarapu.
Hi, Rajesh.
Yeah,
yes.
He was on the other line with Kunal Ganjawala.
Mm-hmm.
That, bro, I'm going to Puttaparthi. And he said, why don't you help Firdaus? He's a dear friend of mine and you can take him to Puttaparthi. So it happened by its own.
Things are falling in place.
Yeah, I never pushed myself. I never tried.
I just reached there and then I met Rajesh. So Rajesh, for the first time he met, and he told, I'll take you to Puttaparthi. On our way, when we were just going towards Puttaparthi, I felt like, you know, through Rajesh I'm hearing Baba. You know, the things that he was mentioning were not the normal words. It was something different what a person can say. It was totally different. So I felt this is not a normal thing. And it's been written in my life that I have to go here. So he took me for a Baba's darshan. And you know what happened? When I was sitting, the first picture of Baba that had come, the first published picture, he gave it to me, Rajesh, the first picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not yet published. He had a copy of that thing. And he said, you take this, and when Baba passes, you just show him.
He gave you a picture of Baba.
Yeah, yeah. And as soon as Baba came close to me, I was on the front row. He saw me, and he blessed me thrice.
He raised his hand.
Yeah, he raised his hand. It was like current all over my body. A great, amazing experience. And, you know, you get blessing from Baba.
So you really felt something extraordinary happening to you at that
Yes,
time.
Yes, I could feel. And, you know, after that, for two more days I was here, then I went back to Bombay. And this started happening, me and my meeting with Baba. It happened for almost the next 1.5 years, I was continuously meeting Baba. Like within 2 months, I came to Puttaparthi, I took Baba's darshan. Then Baba came to Bombay.
Yes.
And Harshi.
Yes.
So I kept taking his darshan and traveling a lot to see him. The best thing that happened to me was, you know, like many a times I felt him coming to my house. I could smell the fragrance of that sandalwood. I have very strong intuitions as I've been into prayers and chanting since my childhood. I have very strong essence that someone is there. And even then I started asking, Baba, if you are there, just prove me how you are there.
So even after you had your darshans and you are back in Mumbai, but you still wanted more confirmation from him.
Yes. Because, you know, we have this thing in our mind.
The doubts keep coming
out. So I used to ask him, okay, if you are there, prove me. So he used to tap on my back.
You want to feel his presence more strongly.
Yes, for the first few days. Because I had experiences, but not such kind.
So you used to feel that someone is tapping you.
Yeah, someone is patting on my back. And again, I used to say, okay, prove it again. And sometimes I even used to say, if you are there, move this thing. This thing used to move.
What? It could be any object.
Any object. Because, you know, at night when I used to pray, I used to just do all these things. Let's see what happens.
And it used to happen.
It used to happen. Even, in fact, I tried this in Kunal Ganjawala's house. It happened there also. So, miracles became just a normal thing in my life. So now miracles are not a big thing in my life. Like I could feel at night someone is making me sleep and someone is teaching me what you call your scriptures at night, making me sit down. In my dreams I've seen.
You saw in a dream?
Yes.
Someone is asking you to go through the scriptures.
Yeah. And there are lots of things which I never read in books, like about humanity, about love for different religion. That came into me. You know, when I was in Puttaparthi, I saw people crying for God. Then I felt what God is. And, you know, the love for God. And the people from different religion are giving me so much respect and love. Then I felt, what am I lacking? Even I should learn this thing, you know, to love others. Then I started learning about Islam. Then I found both the things are same. There's nothing different. By that time, I had read lots of books about Hindu scriptures and lots of masters. And I read about Sufism and many things. I even learned Kriya Yoga. I got initiated in Kriya Yoga, the only Muslim in Jagannath Puri learning Kriya Yoga. In fact, my master there, he told me, from whom I got initiated, there is nothing about religion. There's nothing. Om means universal God.
Yes. The sound of creation.
Yeah, that thing came into my life and I started feeling love for everyone. Anyone it may be. Because I had this question, why do we hate others or why do we don't, you know, have this feeling of love for others? There are few people who don't get along with others. But this thing went out of my mind. I started loving others. You know, that feeling for others went high in my life.
So as you started feeling Baba's love in your life, you began reading
the scriptures with more interest, and perhaps, as you said, you started taking your own religion seriously.
Yes, yes, that happened. Because he's my master. He taught me such good things, you know. I was never into reading books. I was into gadgets, I was into bodybuilding, I was into heavy music. I was into a different thing, and I didn't have any love for nature. Other thing, I love nature also. I feel that even the trees and the plants are living beings. I feel even they have very strong energy. My love for all these things went very high. So, for those 10 days, I'll continue, those 10 days, I found as if there's tremendous energy in my body. Those 10 days when I was reading books, every day I used to complete like two books. I kept on reading. I used to sit in my room, my mom was wondering, what is he doing, reading, and...
So you just stopped everything and just reading books?
Yeah, evenings, it's been planned by God that you get holiday or something, yes. And you just keep on...
So you took the time, took advantage of that time.
I read lots of books for those 10 days, and I could continuously feel current and light in my body. I could see light, I could... And this had happened even in my childhood. I've seen these things. Like I said, I had learned Kriya Yoga. I even went Shirdi. You know, I can feel Baba is there. And for me, getting connected to Baba is the simplest thing in my life.
Now?
Yeah.
It's the simplest thing in life to get connected to Baba.
Even if I want to meditate, it'll take some time. But to get connected to Baba is the simplest and the most fastest thing that I've been blessed. If I have doubt, I ask him.
He's like with you all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to, okay, Baba ko puchta. So, you know, I'll ask him. He saved me many a time, like as I'm associated with lots of multinational companies. I was planning to start my own company with a big multinational company, a small agency. There was a big income tax raid. And there were CBI people, as I felt, so nothing happened there. But, you know, the inquiry was, they found my paper, they found my document, everything was there. And... that time, they must have done my inquiry or, you know, interrogations. I just asked, Baba, I'm not into this or I'm not into all these things. Just be with me and just help me out. It was a miracle in my life. You know how these cops, they interrogate. And being me very close to the director, you know, as soon as I went there, it was a miracle that these guys, they started loving me.
Mm-hmm.
They made me sit next to them and started treating me like their child and their, you know...
Cops.
The cops and the top CBI officers and all.
Mm.
And still the officer, he treats me like his son, you know, he loves me and 100% I feel that there's a major role of Baba in this thing.
There's no reason for them to have so much of soft attitude towards you.
Even that company was not involved, but you know the inquiries about the IT people and all these people, they do... But it was all because of Baba. I felt so, you know, like I felt as if I'm going to be behind the bars for unnecessary reason, though I'm not involved in this. But the way they were treating me, I felt as if, you know, angels have come to help me out.
Wow.
And in my future also, like I had few problems. These cops, these officers, they helped me in other things.
They helped you.
Yeah. With some gangsters, they were giving me trouble. So these cops, they came to me, they made a raid on this guy, and they are helping me. So,
wow.
It's because of my master, I feel. Because I had only asked him, please help me out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So miracles, they've become a normal thing in my life. So if you talk about miracles, there are lots of things. I learned pranic healing.
Mm-hmm.
Pranic healing is a very good form of healing technique.
Yes.
I did all the advanced courses. I did Kriya Yoga, as I said. Then my hobby became to go to the most high energy places, like most spiritual places, visiting the masters. Maybe I get some blessings. So I started going to Ajmer.
Yes. Ajmer Dargah is famous.
And Shirdi I went. I went to Haji Ali. Though being in Mumbai, I never used to go to Haji Ali.
Your world was very different.
Yeah, I was not into this, but again, my friend Rajesh Ramavarapu, he came to Bombay and he said, bro, let's go to Haji Ali, I want to say, Baba has told me. Again there, I felt that Baba is making us go there. Since 13 years, I didn't go there, but we went to Haji Ali, we prayed, and there again, I felt Baba. So next time, again, I went, and again, I felt that Baba is there with us. So I felt like Baba is... you know, helping me out in my life and even introducing me to many good masters who are getting me into the right path.
Fantastic. So you were just evolving as someone who were just doing the rituals of being a Muslim to someone who began to love the religion, to someone who started really practicing the religion more seriously and started enjoying the religion.
Yeah, this was because when I was very young, I just used to go for namaz. I didn't know what namaz is. Namaz is something like yoga, what you do. Yoga is related to your chakras. You know, when you bow down, you're cleansing your negativity. Then I came to know what importance that namaz has.
Baba says, bend your body, mend your senses,
yes,
and end your mind.
Yeah.
Namaz is so much that.
Yeah.
You bend your body and you mend your senses, you offer everything to God.
Yes.
And you know, you end your mind in namaz, it's complete surrender.
Yeah.
Just give your mind to God.
Yeah. So, when I started to get this feeling, I just love namaz. You know, so that's why I say that my master has made me a better Muslim. And for me, Islam again is for everyone. Quran is for everyone. It's not for a particular religion, and I feel everyone is a Muslim, everyone is come for the same purpose.
Yes. Fantastic. I remember once Baba gave a very nice definition of Islam. Do you know that? ISLAM?
Mm-hmm.
Baba said, ISLAM means I shall love all mankind. And it's so much in line with what you are saying and what you started feeling after having...
And one more thing I used to always hear from Baba, like in the morning at 6 o'clock, we pray our Fajr namaz, he used to wake me up also.
Wake you up?
Huh. He used to wake me up.
He used to come in a dream?
Like tapping.
Tapping you?
Yeah.
Oh. You used to feel someone is tapping you?
Yeah. And I feel that it's him.
It is him.
It's him, 100%. Because I can make out someone else, you know, but it's him. And one more thing is from his voice, that South Indian
accent
in that saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Baba saying that.
Yeah. And saying Muhammad Rasulullah is like the Prophet Muhammad. So, I've heard this thing many a time.
It rings in a ear.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, there is so much of transformation from what Firdaus was before 2009 to what Firdaus is now in 2012.
In fact, I had Catholic friends, but I felt, what are they doing? What is it exactly? But then, the change that came into my life, I started loving everyone. Because I have to respect and love everyone. You know, I was just into my religion. I never knew about other people, other religions. Only the way they pray to God, that's the only difference.
How they do it.
How they
do. Ultimately, what they do is the same.
Yeah.
And the purpose is the same. It's just
the pure heart
that is mandatory for every religion.
And that's why they are so pure. I find these foreigners coming to India to celebrate Christmas. It's such a great feeling.
In Prashanti. Mm.
In Prashanti Nilam, and it's amazing.
Amazing.
Daim Allah Allah aşkın elinden Hay hay bilmem nideyim Allah Allah aşkın elinden Kandeydi deyim aşkın elinden Kandeydi deyim aşkın elinden Sallallahu ala Muhammed Sallallahu aleyhi rahmet Sallallahu ala Muhammed Sallallahu aleyhi rahmet Meskenim dağlar Allah Allah Gözyaşım çağlar Hay hay meskenim dağlar Allah Allah Gözyaşım çağlar Durmaz kanalar aşkın elinden Durmaz kanalar aşkın elinden Sallallahu ala Muhammed Sallallahu aleyhi Ahmet Sallallahu ala Muhammed Sallallahu aleyhi Ahmet Yunus'un sözü Allah Allah göz olmuş özü Hay hay Yunus'un sözü Allah Allah göz olmuş özü Kanalar gözü aşkın elinde Kanalar gözü aşkın
So wasn't that beautiful? Something different? That was from a music program in front of the physical presence of Bhagwan in August 2010 by devotees from Turkey. It was a 50-minute program and Samit thoroughly enjoyed the presentation, and in the end he blessed each member of the group with clothes, safari pieces for the gents and saris for the ladies. So many had come for the first time and they were performing in the divine presence for the first time. And I was in fact lucky to have in the studio one such couple, Professor Nezi Erdoğan and his wife Jiren Erdoğan. And they shared their experience of what drew them to Baba, how they felt being in Prashant Nilayam, how was it performing before Swami, and what fascinates them about Swami and his teachings and so on. It was an hour-long session. But let me now just play for you the first 25 minutes of this interview, where this Turkish couple so beautifully began about their beautiful journey with Swami.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, in the studios of Radio Sai today, we have a Sai devotee couple from Turkey, Professor Dr. Nezi Erdoğan and his wife, Jiren Erdoğan. A warm welcome to you, Professor and Madam.
Hello, thank
Hello,
you.
Thank you.
Professor is the Dean at the Faculty of Communication in Istanbul Bilgi University, and they have come for the first time to Prashanthi Nilayam. Is that right, sir?
Yes, this is our first time in India, our first time in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Great. So there are a lot of stories now, definitely in your heart, about how you feel being at Prashanthi Nilayam. You have seen Baba for the first time, and for every Sai devotee, for every Radio Sai listener, it is always a very fascinating story to know how Swami draws people from different corners of the world. Swami is physically all the time here, except for a few occasions when he goes to different places. But people come from all parts of the world, and each one has a very unique story to share. Each story is fascinating. So we'll start with that. Tell us about your journey to Bhagwan. How did you come to know of Bhagwan in the first place? When did that happen?
Well, we first heard of Sai Baba about 3 years ago. We know this lady who is also a healer. Mm-hmm. So we were visiting her regularly. And on our second visit, I noticed Sai Baba's photographs hung on the walls. Mm-hmm. So I asked the lady who Sai Baba was. I didn't know him. And then she explained who he was and what he does. And of course we were very much interested. Mm-hmm. And she gave us books about Baba, because there are lots of books translated into Turkish. Mm. And we began to read those books. Also, she provided us with portions of his discourses. Mm. We also read them. We are still reading them. We are still reading them. And of course, we were very much fascinated by what he said, or very much fascinated by what is written about him. Mm. Because there are miracles in the story. All of what we can say about Baba boils down to love. And this is what he says when, you know, he says something about religion. There is only one religion, religion of love. And this is what we believe. We were brought up in Muslim families. Mm. And we see that the essence of Islam is love too, and so it is very interesting to see that someone in India is emphasizing the same truth. This was very interesting. Of course, we are aware that India has, in religious terms, it has a very strong tradition, land of gods and land of, you know, of, different cultures, you know, merging into each other. But there is also the unity of God and all that, which we can also find in our own religion, Islam as well. This kind of relationship, kinship. So we were very much fascinated by all these. The 20th century has ended in despair. There is every form of hatred, racism being the prominent one, corruption, poverty, inequity. So when they get together, they form a very bleak, very gloomy picture. And it seems that the 21st century is following the same way. And right at the center of this picture, the mission of Sai Baba appears as a light at the end of the tunnel. Back in Turkey, we read his works, we read works about him, and this was all mostly all about what he said. But now, when we come here, we are able to witness also what he did, what he is doing. And I see that what he is doing is as important as what he is saying. It's very important because he's talking about love, and when we came here, we witnessed that love is in the air. I mean, everybody loves each other, you know, everybody greeting each other, Sairam, and, you know, love is in the eyes of the people. I mean, it was very interesting for me. I met Sai Baba's elephant three or four days ago.
Small one.
The small one. She was in the streets, you know. Everybody loved the elephant. And I didn't have the courage to touch her. But I felt that she knew that she was being loved. And she loved back the people. Mm. I mean, you know, this is fantastic. This is not we experience in Istanbul, but here our relation with people, our relation with the nature, all characterized by love. This is very important. I mean, love is not a word anymore for us. I mean, we have been reading words in the books, but now
it has become a verb. You can see it in action.
Yes, yes. Mm. This was very moving, very impressive, actually. So we have been very happy since we came here.
2 months before we were coming here, you know, we were getting ready and then we were going to Dernek. How can we say that in the...
There's this community devoted to Sai Baba.
Ah, okay.
They gather Twice a week,
and then one day we practice the bhajans, and then on Thursdays we sing.
So after you came to know about Baba from the healer, you started going to the Sai Center.
Not really. Before, now this lady, it was winter. She said, "I'm going to India to visit Sai Baba's ashram. Why don't you come along?"
Okay.
And without any hesitations, we said, "Why not? Yes, we're coming."
Oh, isn't,
and then she
isn't
said...
Isn't that surprising? You just came to know about some Baba, and when they ask, you're saying, "Yes, yeah, we are coming."
But, of course, we were now aware of his mission, the meaning of his mission, which we find very valuable, not for only for the Indians, but for the humanity in general.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is very dear to us. Mm. And... of course, it was an opportunity to see him in person and the energy flowing from him. Mm. I mean, we couldn't miss that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did go to the organization a couple of times last year.
Mm.
And then when our healer told us that if we would like to go to India, it was like 8 months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We said, yeah, sure, we would love to go. So approximately 2 months ago, I started to go to the organization twice a week to work on the bhajans with them. So I was playing the keyboard.
Oh, okay.
And I was, you know, I was learning and then teaching the bhajans at the same time. Also, Turkish, we were learning the Turkish
hymns. Religious hymns, you know.
With Professor Ruhi Ayangi.
Mm.
So we were practicing four times a week, actually. Every night, almost every night, we were meeting.
Mm.
So I was, you know, reading about Baba, but singing and learning the bhajan, it was giving me so much happiness, actually. I mean, musically, I mean, bhajans are great, and the meanings are great. The melodies are fantastic, and I really, you know, liked, you know, working on them. And then it was very interesting, like, the more I sang and then the more I was thinking about Baba, like, one day I was walking on the street and then Baba came into my mind and then I smelled this beautiful flower, you know, it was something like a wind came to my nose and then I experienced such a happiness and I looked around, there was no flower, I mean, it was... like some, a miracle.
Some fragrance from nowhere.
Fragrance from nowhere came to me and then it gave me so much pleasure.
Mm.
And then that happened three or four times.
Mm.
And then I said, oh, I'm so happy that, you know, I'm going. And then it was very... and I read this in Phyllis Crystal's book too, actually, that she experienced similar...
People feel his presence in different ways.
I mean, miracles. Miracles, of course... they are very attractive, very important, and we have been able to witness many of his miracles here. I must say that one thing impressed me more than that, many people in need, you know, give letters to him, and he reads every letter, one by one. I saw that, I noticed that, and I was very much impressed by that.
Mm.
I mean, this shows that he really cares about his people. He really cares about those people who need his help. This is very important. And also, there was this theater play during Darshan.
Yes.
And after the play, the players approached Baba to show their respect. Mm. And he also, you know, I didn't hear what he said, but, you know, there was something going on.
Mm.
And I saw these two young people, they were not players, but, you know, they helped the others carry things and all that.
Baba called them.
And Baba saw them.
Yes.
And, I mean, it was very obvious that they were very humble.
Yes.
They wanted to, you know, talk to Baba, but they just didn't have the courage.
Yes.
And the players and all the other people forgot about them because they were, I can understand that, they were very excited.
Yes. Yes.
Baba saw them and called them and blessed them. I mean, these are only some of many occasions and examples by which Baba showed his love and how he cared about all of us, not only a couple of us, but all of us, be they his devotee or not. So we are very much impressed by that, and we are returning home with all these memories which we will treasure, you know, which we will always remember.
Mm. How did you feel staying in the Prashanthi Nilayam ashram? Did you find it uncomfortable to stay the routine of, you know, sitting there for 2 hours waiting for Baba? Was that a difficult thing to do?
In this area, there is everything we need, and also whenever we felt the need for something, there was always someone to help us. Of course, we're not very much used to, you know, sitting on the ground, but we were just happy with all thousands of people. Mm. I mean, love flowing in every direction. This is something we share. And even if it's not that comfortable, we just forget about it. And I mean, because we are here for the experience.
Yes.
I mean, not for luxury or to feel comfortable, to sit in an armchair.
Yes.
But we are here to share love, to have energy coming from Baba. This is what is important for us.
Baba gives that energy. Actually,
you see?
I mean, the first day we arrived, you know, it was a long flight, and we supposed to have jet lag, you know. And I said, I'm not tired at all, you know. It was, you know, and then we went to the afternoon darshan right away. I'm no tiredness. I mean, it was like
a
miracle.
We had arrived, and we didn't know where we were going to stay. We hadn't slept for 20 hours maybe, but in 2 hours we were ready to attend darshan, and we were
full
very
energy.
Happy, very excited, very excited, yes, indeed.
Prashanti Nilayam, the name, means the abode of peace. So there is something about this, the air of Prashanti Nilayam.
Yes.
There is some energy here.
Yes.
I think people feel it depending on how much you tune to it. And you were mentioning about how there is so much of love in this place and how love is the core of Swami's message. I was just reminded of an interesting explanation of the word Islam that Baba gave once while speaking to the students. He said, Islam, I-S-L-A-M, means I shall love all mankind.
Yes, Islam means it's a kind of a salutation. I mean, in Turkish we say selam.
Surrender. Is it surrender?
Not only surrender, but it also means peace.
Peace.
May peace be upon you. Salam aleikum.
Yes.
And they share the same origin. Islam, selam. They share all the same origin. And to surrender, just the way Baba puts it. In the entrance of the Western cafeteria, the prayer of the surrender.
Yes. So after you have known Baba and you have seen Baba, is there any perceivable change that you see in your personality, in your way of thinking, in your attitude towards life? Has it brought any kind of difference in the way you look at life, in the way you go about your personal life, your professional life? Has there been any kind of difference in the attitude towards life in general after having known Baba?
Actually, even before we came here, I think we have already become more patient, more patient towards other people, even towards the hectic life of the big city. We have known how precious the humankind can be. I think we have grown a kind of awareness in that. I mean, we have not become only patient, but also we now have respect for others, because now we know that they contain God in themselves. So we have to praise the God within you, the God established in you. Sometimes, you know, we tend to forget it, you know, but then, you know, something happens and then reminds us of that truth. Now, I feel that we have to leave India and go back home. I mean, our time here is up and we have to leave. Why? Because we have to enlarge the ashram of Sai Baba, you know. It, I mean, we have to expand it onto our home.
You have to carry atmosphere to your home.
Our home must be the ashram of Sai Baba as well. And we will be able to figure out what really happened to us only when we go back home. And, you know, we have to establish that atmosphere of respect, love, unity in our homes.
Tell us, has this brought any kind of discernible change in the way you look at music, in the way you look at life?
Sure. I mean, I studied, classical Western music for, many, many years. And unfortunately, I didn't have much time to study Turkish music. And then studying the bajans, I realized how much I was missing, actually, So the music, I mean, classical Western music is, beautiful as well, but, I like it very much. But it could be too intellectual in certain areas. But this music is coming truly from heart, and it touches to your heart. And then it's just very meaningful, and it's teaching me a lot. And I would like to compose that way. And I hope that I can, create music, and then I'll, make listeners to feel, what I feel here and what I learn from Baba and, all the, his blessings and then his healings. I hope I can transfer that to the listeners.
Through music. Share this love and share this peace.
Music, and then,
It was wonderful to see you play during that performance when all the Turkish devotees played. Yeah, Professor Rui was on this side and you were on that side playing the piano. How was that experience of performing before Baba?
It was wonderful. Being that close to, Baba was amazing. And then I looked around and I saw, from that point, seeing all these people, how many, 20,000? I said, this is, because every musician has that. Well, when I was younger, I used to wish I had a rock star, I would play to thousands of people. And then I said, well, it's that day, we have 20,000 people and then, it was very powerful. To share that, the same, people are not there to criticize or, that's very different. If it was a concert hall, you would have audience, I don't like this music or criticizing. No, the purpose is not there.
Yeah.
Not that here, Everybody is here with good intentions, with, good vibrations and good thoughts.
Yes.
And then that makes you bigger, I really feel it's very interesting. This happened during the rehearsals too. When I was playing, when I let it go, I make no mistakes. When I think I'm not making mistakes, how come? And then I would make a mistake while I was learning the, bajans. I said, no, just go, And then I realized that, Baba was helping me. And then, but when my intellect said, oh, what is going on? And then, I would play a wrong note. And then the same thing happened, here. I said, just go,
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow, and then it's happening.
Let Baba take over.
Exactly, That was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I saw Ruhi Bey too, he was singing, and it was a very, everybody. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and we were very lucky.
Absolutely, absolutely lucky. To be able to perform in front of Baba is something which we'll cherish for our lifetimes to come.
Yes, yes.
Definitely.
Such a privilege, to perform in front of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in front of thousands of people.
Who are all so filled with love and reverence. As you mentioned, because they are here to see Baba and listen to your music.
Yes.
And what fascinated you about bhajans?
I mean, the melodic patterns, they are so simple and so complex at the same time. That's very wonderful, and it's so, meaningful, actually, to make music very simple and very sophisticated,
So it's a mix.
Yeah.
It's a mix.
Just like Vedas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I may say so.
Sure.
I try to read the transliteration.
Yes.
And then translation.
Yes.
I mean, at the first sight, they appear very simple. And then the more you read, you come to understand how complex it is. And the whole philosophy of life and universe and God, it's all there. That is fascinating. Yes, it's just like the Vedas.
Yes. The Vedas are the storehouse of all knowledge.
Yes.
The storehouse. You just, I was just asking you the meaning of your university. You said it is
knowledge.
Knowledge. Bilge is knowledge.
Yes.
And the meaning of Vedas also is knowledge. Yeah, that is the meaning of Vedas. It's knowledge. A knowledge that has come from God through the intuition of sages and saints.
Yes.
And it has been passed on through generation, from generation to generation, through sound.
Yes, you know, sound.
Through sound. Because only in the recent times you have these things documented and you have books to see, but for thousands of years it was passed on from one master to the disciple through sound.
Yes, it's the same thing in Quran. Okay, Quran is now a book. It is printed. You hold it in your hand, just like you can hold it, hold the Vedas in your hand. But the basic usage of both Quran and Vedas, you have to recite them.
Yes.
You have to produce the sound.
Sound, yes.
And whenever I listen to Quran, recitation of Quran, and I have been thankfully listening to Vedas for over a week, it's like a shower of vibrations. I mean, it's really, I can feel it in my body. It's not only good for my intellect, it's also good for my body. Something is happening. This is wonderful.
Feel like you are cleaning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a purifying experience.
And someone told me that it also purifies the air. Not only your soul, but also the air.
Yes. You know, Baba says, you know, to this chanting, singing bhajans, chanting Vedam, it is to create those positive vibrations, which are very much needed in the current times. You were referring to the so many problems of the modern world. And how it works, we never know. How the vibrations affect.
But it does.
It does. It's just like you go to a holy place and you feel the vibration, and what it does to your mind is something you can never describe. So you're going back with a lot of experiences cherished in your heart about bhajans, about Vedam, about darshan per se. And what really impressed me is you mentioned about Swami's message, how it is so critical in the current times, given the state the world is in, faced with so many problems, and where you see the light in Swami's message. I think that is something, as a professor of communication, I think that is something you would like to communicate to your student. What would you like to say to your students if someone asks you, Professor, you went to India, you saw Baba, what did you see? Tell us.
Of course, it's not very easy to put it in one sentence, but peace, love, these should be two main keywords which must lie at the hearts of our lives. And we have to deal with our ego. We have to go through its illusions, the tricks it plays on us. I mean, as a film teacher, I always teach my students how to make films and how not to believe in them. Okay? Because films are full of effects, you know, tricks and all that.
Yes.
And so I always try to show them what lies beneath it. So maybe just as I have been trying to show them those tricks, maybe I should now point to the tricks of ego and turn towards peace and love, the truth of our heart.
Yes.
Sai Ram Baba, Sai Ram Baba, Sai Ram Baba, Rama 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 Rama, Om Sai Ram, Sai Ram. avucunda evren, sözlerinde güven.
Avucunda evren, sözlerinde güven.
Güven, güvenden güven.
Sevgimizle huzur, dağılır tekelden.
So that was another song from that concert on August 2010 by the Turkish devotees. And as you mentioned, the professor mentioned truth and love and peace. That is what is that takeaway from him, for him as he returns to his country in the Europe. And now from Turkey, let's move farther into the Pacific, into the West Indies. I had the chance to talk to a devotee by name Faiz Mohammed, about whom you already heard. I had interviewed him in December 2009. And I remember how, as a young Muslim, he struggled initially to reconcile to the fact that the formless Allah was Sai Baba. How there was so much conflict, how there was so much confusion, frustration, how he spent sleepless nights, and finally, how did he come to accept Bhagwan, and what that did to him. Since then, how his life has undergone so many amazing waves of teaching him beautiful lessons. So let's listen to this, an excerpt of a conversation with Faiz Mohammed.
One question which is inevitable and which I cannot stop from coming, and which perhaps every listener also would like to know, is how did Swami come into your life?
Growing up at a very tender age, I was always inclined to spirituality. At a very tender age, I started reading books like The Power of Positive Thinking and books of that nature. Then I gravitated to the deeper spiritual stuff, like I started reading books on Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Paramahansa Yogananda. In fact, one of the very first books I read was Autobiography of a Yogi. And the Ramakrishna one was the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, and then Ramana Maharishi. I was really fascinated by these wonderful souls and saints, and whenever I would read, it would create a stir in my heart to go deeper and deeper to really find myself. So, and the reason why I studied all the different texts, even from an Islamic standpoint, I studied Sufism. And read about the mystical men of Islam like Jaruddin Rumi and Imam Ghazali, those who had transcended religion and was really living spirituality.
Now, at a young age, developing such a deep interest in real spirituality, how did this happen? Was it because of the influence of your parents or your surroundings?
It was just there naturally in myself, and I felt this from a very tender age.
Just naturally
it would be there, the urge and the feeling to find myself, to understand why it is I took birth and what was my purpose on the face of
the earth. So you started asking these questions at a very early age.
Very early age.
It doesn't happen to everybody.
Yes.
So that is a blessing.
Yes. As such, I had also very few friends, because most of my friends did not share in my journey and in my likes as well, because they were otherwise involved in a lot of worldly material things, which I respected them for. But I had this yearning from a tender age to...
And your parents supported this search, because you were actually reading texts of different faiths, different spiritual masters, so they were okay with it.
Yes, in fact, my father was a very universal person, and he encouraged me as well to read the different books, because he used to read Rabindranath Tagore, Mahatma Gandhi, and when I came into contact with Sai Baba, he also started reading Sai Baba's messages and books. So it is from his encouragement too, to read and become universal. So I got a lot of that encouragement from my father especially. Mother was a very simple-minded lady with a pure heart. But father was the one who did most of the reading, and often we would have discussion on what he read.
So where did all these learning take you?
Well, at the tender age of 17, I had just completed my secondary school education. And I did not know at that time what it is I wanted to further my studies in.
Like, you didn't have any materialistic goals for yourself? Like, well, every youngster?
Yes, I wanted to do something, but I could not find exactly what was my calling on a material or educational level. So I decided to take a little time out and think about it. And often with so much time on my hands, I used to frequently visit the mosque in my village. And often I would spend hours there in prayer, in doing the namaz, in reading, in meditating. And after a while, I met a gentleman who used to come to the mosque. And later I found out he was the son of the imam who would conduct the daily prayers. And on my very first meeting with him, it really opened my eyes, because most of my Muslim friends, I realized and I came to know, they did not have that open-minded belief to other religions or faiths. They felt that Islam was the greatest religion and the Holy Prophet Muhammad was the last and final messenger. And often in the mosque I would have debates along these lines, because I couldn't agree.
Debates with the elders,
elders,
other youngsters?
Yes, mostly the elders who stuck to their belief. And the discussion basically went where I would share with them that Islam is a great religion, but so also is Hinduism, so is Christianity. And at the end of the day, it was my opinion that God is going to judge you not so much on your belief, but on your conduct, your intentions, and your purity of heart, regardless of religion.
Right.
But in this gentleman who I met, this Muslim person, he also was, like myself, searching and very universal. He had also read all the great books and studied the great masters. So I felt a great kinship with him. And thereafter, we had very long, beautiful spiritual discussions for many, many days, sometimes lasting until wee hours in the morning.
It was perhaps a bit unusual to find the son of an imam being so universal, so to say.
Yes, yes. It's very seldom that you may find such a person. But I was fortunate to meet him, and he had a tremendous impact on my spiritual development. Because being about 10 years older than myself and with so much wisdom, the more I conversed with him, the more we spent time together, I learned and understood a lot more about the deeper spiritual truths. Until one day, while in discussion, Sai Baba's name came up. And I had not heard much about Sai Baba, but having discussed it with him for a little while, he brings a book and he hands it to me. And I said, "Who is this?" He said, "This is Satyam Shivam Sundaram." I said, "But who is that person on the cover?" He said, "That is God in human form." I said, "You must be mad.
Oh,
that bushy head, afro head man you're saying is God?" And then he looks at me very seriously and he said, "Faiz, read it. But read it with an open mind." And so I took his advice and I went home that same day. And as I began to read this book, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, I could not put it down. I read out every single page. And it had such a tremendous impact on me. Because all that I had learned previously from the great masters, all that I had studied, my own universal way of thinking, I found it in harmony with what Sai Baba was saying here. Things like love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. And then there were three beautiful sayings that Sai Baba said that really touched me. and really opened my eyes as to what his message really is. And those sayings were, there is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one caste, the caste of humanity. There is only one language, the language of the heart. There is only one God and He is omnipresent. I felt that so beautiful. And then another one that I really, really liked is, let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish. Let the glory of God be sung in all the languages in a variety of tunes. Respect the differences between each of the faiths and recognize them as valid as long as they do not extinguish the flame of unity. So here he was talking, but in a very loving and unified way. But the one that really caught my attention is when he said, I have not come to disturb or destroy anyone's faith, but to confirm each in his own, so that the Muslim becomes a better Muslim. The Hindu becomes a better Hindu. The Christian becomes a better Christian. And then I said, wow, what a wonderful teaching from such a great spiritual master. And having read this now, it really enticed and encouraged me to go deeper and deeper into the philosophy, the teachings, the mission of Satya Sai Baba.
Swami had captured your heart.
He surely did. But in the midst of that though, there was one big conflict that started to arise in myself. While reading, I also read where Sai Baba said, I am God, all names and forms are mine. And it disturbed me from the point of view that I'd always seen or come to know God as being formless, being a Muslim. And here Sai Baba is saying he is God. So there was this conflict now, how do I reconcile the formless aspect of Allah with Sai Baba saying he is God? And as I delved deeper into his teachings, I realized that he also said, I am God, but you are God also. The only difference is, I know that I am God, but you do not. So this conflict was so great, it was so strong in myself, the confusion and frustration went on for many days and weeks and months. Sometimes I had sleepless nights trying to reconcile this Sai Baba with Allah. And often, many, many times I would pray to Almighty Allah to show me the way, show me the truth, so that I can resolve these conflicts within myself. And then something happened to me. Something came to me that said, if Allah is omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, if He's all-powerful, can He not assume a human form? It just dawned on me and I said, but that is so. That removed quite a bit of doubt from my mind.
It was just a flash? Just something from inside?
Something dawned. As I was questioning, as I was searching amidst the conflict, as I was praying to Almighty Allah to guide me, to show me, this dawned on me one day. And it did a lot to remove a lot of doubt from my mind, even though there was still some. Then what I decided to do, because I gravitated a lot to Sai Baba's teachings now, I felt a certain empathy and harmony with the teaching. I decided to visit some Sai Baba centers. And in Trinidad, there were many. In Trinidad, we have about 1.2 million people, but we have about 52 centers in almost every village in the country.
52 centers?
52 centers.
That's wonderful.
So I went to the one that was nearest to me, and the very first bhajan session I went to, it captivated my heart. I loved the singing. Beautiful singing. And I would hear kasidas, I would hear bhajans, I would hear hymns. And I said, Swami, this is really universality. But more than that, even though I was beginning to feel that attraction to Sai, the conflict of the form against the formless bothered me. And I sought out Muslim devotees, people who had believed in Sai Baba and become devotees. I sought them out and I spent hours with them, trying to see how they had reconciled this conflict and frustration. And it did help me a lot in their journey to Sai, how they were able to reconcile Sai Baba and Allah. But after a while, I prayed and I said, I must then see for myself. And so in 1981, a group of devotees from Trinidad were attending the first ever Bal Vikas overseas guru training program in Prashanti Nilayam. And I offered my name to be a delegate. And so with Bhagwan's will and grace, I was able to spend 1 month in Puttaparthi. And it is on this trip, observing Sai Baba, seeing him, materializing things, interacting with the devotees, hearing him speak and feeling the energy, I began to really strongly believe in him as somebody really great and spiritual. And from the end of that trip, about 75 to 80% of my doubts were removed. And as he himself has said, he removes our doubts so we can have more doubts. So that is how I really came into contact with Swami. That is how I really came to believe in him.
So it was his message first.
Yes.
Which really captured you. And then when you saw him, I think everything solidified. Yes.
I gravitated to the universality of his message.
Right.
Here was a teacher that was saying, whatever religion you belong to, it does not matter. All will lead to the same goal. Whatever form and name of God that is your favorite, pray to that form and you will also arrive at the goal. And very few teachers were saying this. Most of them were basically couching their sayings into one particular state. He was a universal teacher coming for the whole of humanity, to bring the whole of humanity under one umbrella.
So you returned to Trinidad a different man?
Totally different. In fact, when I came back from my trip to India, I really encountered tremendous problems and challenges, especially with the people in the mosque. And that time, being a young adult, I was the vice president of the Muslim youth group.
Oh.
I also used to lead the namaz at times, the daily prayers. And I used to call the azan, the holy call to prayer. And so some of the members in the mosque knew that I had started to believe in Sai Baba, that I had gone to India to meet him. And it so happened that in the holy month of Ramadan, which is the month designated to fast for 30 days, there is one particular night called Lailatul Qadr night, where Muslims are supposed to wake the entire night engaging in recitation of the Quran, in zikr or jap, in chanting the name and so on. And so to wake the whole night, I did that as well. But I also, to pass the time in a spiritual way, I took one book of Sai Baba with me in the mosque.
Oh.
And lo and behold, one of the management mosque board members saw the book that I was reading. And it really upset him.
Oh.
And thereafter, he called a meeting and said, look, Brother Faiz, he's believing in a man as God. Because they had known now from my visits and my belief. And they said, this cannot be tolerated. How can you pray to a man and call him God? So they had a mosque board meeting and they took away my position first as vice president of the youth group. They banned me from leading the prayers, the daily prayers. And they took away the duty of calling the holy call to prayer. People in the mosque who used to treat me as their very own son and call me son, now they passed me straight. They shrugged their shoulders. They felt now that I was an outcast, that I had converted to a different religion. And so the treatment became very hostile. There was a lot of animosity.
What did this do to you?
Well, I felt very hurt from the inception. I felt that I did not deserve to be treated this way. But also, what also came was that an understanding of why they also behaved that way. And after a while, whenever I would go to the mosque, the treatment would continue in this very hostile manner. And after a while, I prayed. Now I was praying to Sai Baba, because now I had accepted him as my guru, as my divine master. And through my belief and practicing his teachings, in my heart, I was becoming a better Muslim. And so when I used to go to the mosque and receive this treatment, I prayed and I said, Swami, from now on I will stay away because it's causing too much of turmoil and agony in these people. So after a while I stopped. But my mother continued to go and I had to drop her and pick her up. So often I would do that. But Swami works in miraculous ways. After a year or two, my mother organized what you call a Quranic reading in Maulud, where you invite members of the mosque to read and interpret the Holy Quran and sing Qasidas or devotional songs of Islam. And when she did that, having my belief very strong and anchored inside now, I requested my mother to say a few words after everyone had spoken. And I got up and I said to them very lovingly.
So this was organized in your home?
In my home, yes. The same people in the mosque. And I said to them very lovingly that whether you call him Rama, Krishna, Allah, it is the same God. And most important, it's not our belief in God that is important, but how that belief overflows into our conduct and behavior. And God is going to look at the purity of our heart and our intentions. And I said, regardless of religion, purity of heart and conduct are most important. And I also said, no religion is greater than the other, because all belongs to God and He has no favorites. The most amazing thing happened afterwards. The imam of the mosque came up to me and said, Brother Faiz, what a good message you've given.
Oh my God.
So I was so shocked. I said, Swami, these are the same people who literally discarded me from the mosque.
Right. So something happened to them.
Something happened. When I inquired a little further, when I had come back from India on that first trip, through Bhagwan's grace and will, I had started to give little messages on his birth, life and teachings throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And I came to know some of the Muslims in the mosque had attended some of those sessions, mm-hmm. being invited by Sai devotees to come. So they had heard the message of Sai Baba. And so the message, that universal message, was beginning to take root in their heart, however small. And one amazing thing happened. There was an older gentleman in the mosque, about 70 years old. He was celebrating his 70th birthday. And having heard me speak before, I got one phone call one day that he had arranged to have a birthday prayer in the mosque and wanted me to do the Fitia address.
Oh. The mosque.
I said, Swami, what is all of this now? And through Bhagwan's grace, when the talk was given, I weaved into the talk some of Swami's favorite sayings to me, like love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. Hands that help are holier than lips that pray. And I quoted Swami on the universal tenets of religion. There is only one religion, the religion of love. And all of that was weaved in the message without calling his name. And then people would come up and say, Brother Faiz, first time I've heard that teaching, where did you get it from? You know? And I told him, it's a divine master that is walking the face of the earth. So now, you know, without understanding who Sai Baba is, they were also benefiting from his universal teachings.
And Swami was surely working in his own way.
Yes.
Because the kind of transformation that happened is really tremendous.
Yes.
And so what happened after that? You after your first trip, did you make any more trips to Bhagwan?
Well, through Bhagwan's grace and will, up to today, I have made a total of, this is my 28th trip to Puttaparthi.
28th trip? Oh my God.
My very first one was in 1981. And I've made an average, through his grace, of about one per year. And through his divine will and grace too, I have been able to get, with his blessings, 8 interviews.
So after this, Faiz went on to share some of his precious moments he has had with Swami in the interview room, how Swami guided him, about his marriage, about his family, about his children, how he saved him on so many occasions, how transformed his ways, his lifestyle, and how he got him deeply involved in the Satya Sai organization. Today he is the central coordinator of Trinidad and Tobago, and if I'm not wrong, he was earlier the national spiritual coordinator of the region. So it's amazing how Bhagwan brought him so much transformation. And towards the end of that, Faiz sang a song, and I wish to play that for you now. It's so beautiful.
And also one more thing that is worthy of mention. In Islam, there is a verse that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which translates as, there is no God but Allah, and the Holy Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. That's the orthodox translation. But the mystical men, like Imam Ghazali and Jaluddin Rumi, they interpret the same verse, the Sufis, as not that there is no God but Allah, but that there is nothing but Allah.
Yes.
Which is totally different. And even in the Holy Quran, it is said, Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. Mm. So He has to be within you.
Within you.
And the Holy Prophet Muhammad once said, he who knows himself knows God.
You have been blessed to be such a wonderful instrument in Swami's hands. And of course, you speak so well. Do you sing too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. So maybe we can end this conversation on a musical note.
Well, what song I would like to dedicate to my dear and loving mother Sai is an Islamic song that I learned. It's locally composed in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. And I really want to dedicate it to my dear and loving Lord Sai. Yes. And it goes like this. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Subhanallah. 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 Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah.
So that is Faiz Mohammed from Trinidad and Tobago. One meaning of religion Swami had told many years ago, explaining this word, Swami said, religion means religari, which means that which connects you back to God. That is what is religion. In a letter that Bhagwan wrote to the students in 1989, July, Swami had mentioned, religions are set forth in order that people enjoy the benefits of leading a moral life. The fundamental duty of every religion is to transform a human being into a divine being. Religion brings out the inner transformation in a human being. To put it simply, what Baba always says, be good, see good, do good. That is the way to God. That is the way taught by every religion. Religion does not matter. What matters is how much we remember God. Rituals doesn't matter. What matters is how spiritual we are striving to become. Liberation does not matter. What matters is how many people we have shared this liberating love with. How many people are touched by our love? How many people are today united by this love? And in fact, if you look at the Sarvadharma symbol, the symbol of the Satsang organization, in the center you have the lotus. The unfurling of that lotus is symbolized by the blossoming of our love in our hearts, and that is the essence. So you have all the life, different faiths around us. As Bhagwan said, there is always only this soul religion of love. We need to relish this, cherish this, and freely share this, and thereby find fulfillment in our lives. It doesn't matter what our background, where we come from, or what, which God we worship. Ultimately, it is a journey with love, through love, to love. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us all through the program. It's time to wind up this segment of Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studio is now is 10:25, and as even as a sign off, you'll continue to listen to a musical presentation made by children from California and Hawaii, entitled The Boy Jesus. It was presented in front of Bhagwan for the first time on December 27, 2007. So continue to listen. Thank you so much for being with us. And as always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Keep listening. Keep immersing yourself in His love, His music, and His glory. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.